Welcome to this podcast from St. Michael and All Angels Episcopal Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We hope you consider hitting like or subscribe. We hope you will share this audio with your friends and neighbors, help others know about our inclusive, theologically progressive community of faith. If you'd like to support our ministries, you can make a gift at stmichaelsabq.org.
Lord, take our minds and think with them. Take our mouths and speak with them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. Amen. Please be seated. The last time I preached on this story, I talked about how you could predict how Jesus was going to react in each of these questions by thinking about what would be more human. Humans know hunger, and Jesus chose not to use his divine power to spare himself from that very human experience. Most humans know political weakness, so he chose not to use his divine power to become a ruler. And humans die, so Jesus chose not to use his divine power to live forever. And that preached. Simone a year ago did a pretty good job with that. But as I was praying over these readings this time, a new layer came to me. Not only did Jesus choose the more human alternative at every turn, he received what the tempter offered him anyway. Man may not live by bread alone, but later in Luke we read, "And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled, and what was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces." So it's true that Jesus did not use his divine power in this moment to command a stone in the middle of the desert to satisfy his own hunger. But when the Word of God made flesh was standing before hungry masses that had been hungry for the words of God's revelation only moments before, he would give thanks to God for the opportunity to feed their bodies as well as their spirits. Jesus chooses not to take the accuser up on the offer of worldly glory in all the nations at the expense of having to serve the devil. Yet at the end of Luke's story, which is concluded in the book of Acts, the kingdom of Jesus comes to the heart of the Gentile world through the preaching of the Apostle Paul in Rome. And from the very heart of the biggest empire of Jesus' time, the good news of the loving reign of God is carried to the four corners of the world in a great subversion of what it means to have power and give it away. And Jesus chooses not to tempt God into saving him from death, though that decision, in a stunningly human way, is not completely settled at the end of this story, as we still see Jesus struggling with this last temptation in the garden before his passion and death. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." A humble prayer, a human prayer. Yet we know how that story ends. Jesus' acceptance of death on the cross is the key to his triumph over death. To use his own metaphors, a seed cannot grow unless it dies. And I have to tell you that when I shared that part of my sermon with my wife Sarah on the phone yesterday, she laughed and she said, "Well, Jesus was definitely PDA. That may be a new term for some of you. Within the ADHD and autistic communities, there's a personality profile, pathological demand avoidance. The community is beginning to reclaim it using positive language as the personal drive for autonomy. But it's a particular subset of the neurodivergent community that struggles with coercion and control and instead values an individual's right to choose. people that fit the PDA profile don't tend to deal well with demands and are often viewed as contrarian or difficult because of their strong reactions to moments when they don't feel like they have enough agency. I'm going to eschew the theological question of whether or not God's incarnate child was neurodivergent for just a moment. And instead, I want to lift out what I think is important in that Jesus was not interested in using force and coercion to achieve some earthly kingdom-building goal or to escape from this mortal coil. Jesus is the embodiment of God's longing to be with us in the depths of what it means to be human. And the use of force to maintain some earthly kingdom or even to sate his own hunger in the desert would have undermined the connection between the divine and the human that Jesus values so much and embodies for us. In the book, A History of Navajo Nation Education, Wendy Shelley Gray Eyes bumps up again and again against this idea of sovereignty as the ability to make one's own mistakes. And I think that that's at the heart of what is driving Jesus in this story. Jesus does eventually receive all of the things that Jesus offers him today. I mean, that Satan offers him today. He does make food. God's reign does cover the world. And the power of death is undone in the ministry of Jesus. But not in a way that interferes with other people's ability to make their own mistakes. Jesus is not interested in violating anyone else's sovereignty. And what's important for us to hear about that is that the use of force and coercion in religion undermines our embodiment of Jesus the same way. Because one of the things that being a student of Christian history has taught me is that Jesus may have walked away from these temptations, but the church he left behind is still struggling mightily with some of them. And I know that many of us just saw the faces of our 5 to 10 least favorite Christians flash before our faces when I said that. But unfortunately, there's no shortcut for us through these temptations either. We cannot make important decisions about value and belief for anyone but ourselves. And part of how we know that is this story. Because when Jesus came to his temptation, he had to hold that what proclaimed the will of God was to choose to be human, even when he could have been more. Because to choose to be more would have taken agency away from someone else, would have taken sovereignty away from someone else. So what I encourage you to do this Lent is to drill down into our own sovereignty. Where are the boundaries between where we have agency and where our lives could begin to take agency away from others? And to follow Jesus' example. God loves us enough to honor our sovereignty, to allow us to make our own mistakes. May we do that inner work of honoring our own sovereignty so that when others make mistakes, we may hold space for them the way Jesus has held space for us. Amen.